Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Daugherty, founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop, and I'd like to personally invite you to learn more about how you can be involved in this powerful three-day intensive. The next Gateway to Freedom Workshop is coming up September 17th through the 19th. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit us at gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Daugherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's so good to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with my friend Stephen. Hey, Stephen, how are you today?
I am well, thank you.
Good. Well, we're going to dive right in because we've got sort of an interesting broadcast in which we're going to try to maybe parallel a story of a military veteran with sort of what needs to occur in recovery. So, Stephen, why don't you kind of set this up and tell our listeners sort of where this story comes from, and because we want to give credit to where credit is due in terms of certain aspects of this story.
Right. It actually was on National Public Radio, and it talks about material called A Warrior's Journey Home, A Military Warrior's Journey Home. And the author's name is Schloop, something like that.
Well, John Schloop is the founder of A Warrior's Journey Home. It's a
good
group for veterans.
Excellent. So we don't want to tell any one veteran's story, but they talked on this radio show, and so we just want to draw the parallel, if you will, because I saw some similarity here, and I thought it was just really interesting. So I will summarize the story, and then we can just go back and forth on this. Said in the beginning, you have to send an individual to boot camp. They have to experience some kind of training before they become a soldier and develop their skill, and then they go into war. And I am drawing the parallel between a guy that has not seen any porn to a guy starting to slip up and look at some porn, and then he gets caught up in the battle of porn. So I'm going to have two conversations with you. So I'm going to be slipping out back and forth, but I'm going to tell this one story, then Jonathan, you and I will go back and pull it apart. So the soldier went to war, and he came back, he got married, it was a disaster. He started drinking as a solution, then he became a drunk, then he lost his job, he lost his wife, he became homeless, and he ended up living in a homeless shelter. And in that shelter, he found this group called A Warrior's Journey Home. And the article makes several points. That soldiers cannot return easily to who they once were. The war has impacted them and changed them forever. And much like a battle with porn, the more porn you're exposed to and the more you misuse your sexuality, you start in a very innocent place and then you get involved in all this and you can't really easily return. So I'm going to keep going, Jonathan. I'll bring you in just a minute. So you start a civilian and then you become a GI and then you go to war and then you come back from war and you become a vet, a veteran of war, and then you become a civilian again. Maybe I let you jump in.
No, this is good. I think it'd be good to kind of give the whole story and then we can kind of go back because I want to keep it sort of on the war side, the veteran side, and listeners, we are getting to the sexual purity. You're like, how on earth, when you're talking about war and veterans and how does this connect with a pure sex radio broadcast? But trust me, it will make a connection.
So he goes from civilian to GI to war to veteran to civilian. But healing occurs when the community welcomes a vet home. And why is that so significant? He comes home after battling and warring, and he comes home, and either he's welcomed home and valued or he's not. And his journey back it requires like a purification process, a cleansing, where you tell the story and you go through the rituals of war and you learn new rituals and healthier rituals as you try to shake off the impact. This was really insightful to me. He said the goal of this treatment is to transfer the responsibility for the war deeds, all the things that this individual did in war, all of those war deeds are transferred from the individual who came home to the community, and the community carries the responsibility. They sent him to war. They must take the responsibility for his deeds off him. He went to serve as a serviceman. He didn't do those on his own. And so he must release himself from them, and the community must take responsibility.
And I think that's powerful for unifying a nation, a community, if that one concept right there was adopted and embraced. The idea that, listen, an individual does not go to war. A community sends an army to go to war. And so it is ultimately the responsibility of that nation, the members of that nation, to bear the responsibility of whatever that person goes through and help them reintegrate back into civilian life so that they don't feel like this outcast and are looked upon as if they did some atrocious thing when it in fact was the will of the people for that to happen.
And you know what occurs to me as I'm sitting here, I think we have to thank every military member
absolutely
as they're coming back home for what they've done for us.
And I want to just take a little aside here to encourage our listeners. You know, one of the things, I travel quite a bit, and when I'm in an airports I see servicemen and women, and I really try to make it a point. I don't know these people, but I really try to make it a point. I would encourage you to try to make it a point. When you see, yes, a serviceman or servicewoman, just go up and thank them. You don't have to get in a big, long conversation, but just say thank you for your service to our country, because sometimes I think we forget the fact that they are truly serving our country. And it's a huge task. It's a huge responsibility, and we need to thank them for serving in such a way.
Yeah, I think my line is going to be this. Thank you for serving us. Mm. Us. It's all of us that they went out to protect and defend and fight evil from coming into our shores, our borders. So
what does this have to do with
good,
with purity and the journey back, so to speak? Because anybody who's gotten involved in pornography and misused their sexuality and let it spill over the boundaries that God has set for our sexuality, that is...
Don't they look like they've been to war?
Oh, absolutely.
When they come out of it, haven't they been roughed up and messed up, and haven't they messed up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the burdens that those people carry, the burdens that anyone who's been involved in sexual addiction carry, it is as if you've been scarred by war, scarred by those images, scarred by those experiences. And how can, you know, I like this progression here that he talks about, civilian, GI, war, vet, and then civilian. And I almost think, okay, for our little progression, it'd be like you start out innocent, Mm-hmm. There's innocence. Then there's, I guess you could say, discovery or exposure. Then there's, you know, you're going to then start experimenting, and you're going to start getting involved and using your sexuality in an unfit way. Then there's, in terms of that veteran idea, there's, okay, you've experienced a lot in your sexual addiction, and you're now wanting to come home, and you have no way how to get back to innocence. And so you're kind of stuck in that veteran. I'm a veteran sex addict. And it's like, I don't know how to get back. How do I get back home to innocence? How do I get back home to purity?
That's good.
Because I didn't start out this way, you know.
And I'm going to back up a little bit. We're going to talk about this story from every angle. But think about what was experienced. Jonathan talked about the exposure and the experimenting and the secrecy and the shame. And then you take that into marriage, and you think marriage is a solution. But you keep your little secret, and you get worse and worse, and you do look like a drunk, a porn drunk, and then you get caught saying, "Oh, okay, I won't drink another drop again. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better." And in the end, if you keep going, she probably leaves, you know, and you're a left alone, broken man.
Well, and you know what? I just had this thought. If you continue to dive into the world of sexual addiction, just like this veteran ended up homeless, you in essence will end up homeless.
You'll end up homeless
spiritually. You end up homeless in your relationships. You'll end up, because home is innocence, right? That's
and
home
and safety, right? That's,
I mean,
right,
if we're talking,
yes,
about how we started out, yes, you know, it's like, okay, home is living in innocence and purity. And
that's God's design.
Yeah.
The family, the home, the protected children can run around and fall down and get up and climb trees and sing songs and chase butterflies.
So, yeah, if we stay in that quote-unquote war mentality where I'm just going to keep experiencing these things that I really wasn't designed for, then eventually I'm gonna end up homeless.
So the next part of our discussion is this group that was started, A Warrior's Journey Home. And the listeners to this program are on A Warrior's Journey Home. Many, many write us and call and say, "Thank you. I'm using that material in my group or with my friend or in a breakfast meeting. I'm on a journey too. I'm a battered, beat up porn veteran who's on a journey home."
And I think this is, I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute, but the idea of being able to connect with those who have been on the battlefield in the same way that you have, to be able to, you know, that's one of the things that I think is most powerful for veterans, is to be able to be in a group with other veterans. Because listen, if a war veteran came back from Iraq right now and sat down with me at lunch and wanted to try to connect with me about his experience in Iraq, we wouldn't be able to have a rich connection there, because I can't identify with what he's gone through. But you know what? I sit across the table from a guy who spent 20 years involved in porn and secrecy and
affairs,
cheating on his,
yes,
wife. Guess what? We have a rich connection, because I have the same history. I've been on the same battlefields. I've had the same losses. I've had the same scars. I know what it's like to be on that battlefield. And so it's really important to connect with those who have similar experiences, not so that we can glorify the experience. I don't think veterans are getting together so that they can glorify the death and the carnage from the battlefield. They're getting together because they want to return home. They want to return to being a civilian. They want to return to some sense of normal. Because, guys, war is not normal. And porn is not normal. Affairs are not normal. We need to get back to innocence. And so this group idea is so powerful for helping move guys in that direction.
They went on to say that soldiers can't return easily to who they once were. Boy, isn't that so true as we go on the journey? But especially to those who sold their innocence and gave it away. walked away from innocence. Every one of us walked away from innocence, simplicity, peace that surpasses understanding. We walked away for that, for misuse of sexuality and distortion and confusion. And we're trying to find our way back to innocence and simplicity and peace that surpasses understanding.
You know, it's interesting. I look at this idea that, you know, soldiers can't return easily to who they once were, and I actually see a statement of hope. Now, that may sound kind of weird because it's like, well, wait a second. They just said that soldiers can't return easily to where they once were. But there's a qualifier in there. Can't return easily. It doesn't say they can't return at all, that they can't ever get back to a place of normal interactions and daily work and living. And, you know, that's the hope that I get out of this, is that you can return back. It's not easy. And we don't, you know, anybody who's listened to this program for any amount of time knows that we don't tell folks that, oh, the road of recovery and working towards a life of purity and innocence and simplicity and healthy relationships, man, it's a breeze. It's everybody can do it. It's just easy. No. Everybody can get on that path, but everybody doesn't stay on that path, because it is not easy. I mean, I've had guys, Stephen, I'm sure you've had guys tell you this too. I mean, I've had guys that they have had in their past, they've had 10 to 20 year alcohol addiction problems. And they said, compared to their sexual addiction struggle and recovery, quitting alcohol or drugs was a piece of cake.
Mm.
I mean, this is the major, major battlefield. This is something that I think really grips a person in a whole different way than a substance addiction does. Because our sexuality, it's wrapped into every fiber of our being. We are sexual beings. I mean, every part of who you are is intertwined with your sexuality and your emotions. And so it's a very difficult thing to get back to a place of innocence when you've taken your being and exposed it to all these sexually sinful activities. So I actually see hope here. While it's not easy, you can return home. You can,
yes,
return to a place of innocence.
That's good. So he says, healing occurs when the community welcomes a vet home. And we can't make an exact parallel to some of the rest of the story, but I do think healing does occur when we go into fellowship, when we go into community.
What if we rephrase this? What if we said healing occurs when the church welcomes a sex addict home?
That's exactly where I was going. That's right.
I mean, think about what would happen there.
Yes, that's exactly what he wants. He wants freedom. He wants acceptance. He wants for a moment to have the problem solved. He wants just to lay it down. He wants to be hugged and embraced. That's right.
Well, and I think, you know, we've seen a good turn that's occurred in many churches, in which many churches are now more willing to help those who are struggling with sexual addiction. But I remember when we first started this ministry, and certainly when I first started my recovery, getting into a church to talk openly about my story and my struggle and my recovery, I might as well have been trying to break through at Fort Knox. I mean, it was unbelievable resistance. And I think part of that is because, unfortunately, there's many in the Christian community and the church culture that are more interested in building an image rather than healing the broken.
Mm.
And I think that's a sad commentary on the state of many churches, but I think this is so true. Healing really does occur when the church, the community of the church, says, come home. Come home, sex addict. Come home, prostitute. Come home, cheater, liar, stealer, come home. This is home. It's in that church community that we should be able to say, I'm home, because that's where healing can occur, and that's where we should see that type of embrace, is saying, we're not going to cast you aside as everyone else has, as all of your experiences has, as the whole war has, but we're going to say, welcome home.
And I was going to say it this way, and I like what you just said, but my twist was this. healing occurs when the community welcomes a vet home. I was going to play off that and say when that vet finds his fellowship, because we're told to not forsake fellowshipping together. There's healing in fellowshipping and not forgetting what the fellowship is about, and that is the pursuit of the Savior. Mm. And when you find a group of people that know the Savior and introduce you to the Savior, and you bring all your junk to the Savior, mm-hmm. you know, that's the end of the mission, is on your face saying, forgive me.
Well, and you know, that's where kind of it goes on in this story of how to help these veterans, is it's almost like there needs to be a purification process. It's almost like there really needs to be a concerted effort to almost detox mm-hmm. that individual from the trauma of what occurred to them in war. Because, and I think the parallel there is, you know, one of the things that helped my wife in the process of our healing of our relationship and her getting to a place of being able to forgive me was when she realized, like, I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but when she realized the shame that I carried and the trauma that these experiences brought into my life.
Mm.
It's like, I think sometimes we look at people who are hooked on porn and we look at people who are sexually addicted, and we cast them aside and say, they're just doing what they want to do. They're just doing things that please themselves. When you look at the reality, the amount of shame that a sex addict bears, the amount of shame that this person who truly wants to get free from that, you start to see a different picture. You might even start to feel some compassion and realize they've got a purification process that they've got to go through. This isn't all a bed of roses that every sex addict's going, oh, I'm doing this because I just love to go out and be a sexual slob. They're doing it because they don't know how to get out. They don't know how to get home. They don't know the way out. And so when somebody can come along and say, hey, guess what? I can help you find out what the purification process is. I can help you on that journey. It's like a breath of fresh air. It's like a drink of cold water in a desert. I mean, you'd be amazed at how many guys, when we talk to them and say there is a way out and we can show you that way, it's like a light goes on inside of them because they've realized I can come home. I don't have to live in this war-torn land for the rest of my life.
And they say, I thought I was the only one
mm-hmm.
caught up in that secrecy and shame and rituals. They weren't talking to anybody else and getting help, and so they were getting worse and worse and worse to the point and isolating to where they think they're the only one. And when you find out that every man walking around has been seduced by the culture, by his own thoughts, by his own flesh, that every one of us has been wounded by sexual sin. Do you know a man that you would say you know that has not been somehow impacted and wounded by sexual sin, sexual struggle?
I don't know anybody
fantasy.
Personally.
So what the culture does, what you watch on TV now, and I mean, all of it is like a sweet evil seduction that happens, and you get caught up in the sweet, and you know, the seduction is the difficult part. So the healing occurs when we tell our stories and we explore the rituals and develop new healthy ways of being. Then we can come home again.
And that's kind of talking about, you know, we have this four pillars of purity that we talk about in our ministry, and it's professing the struggle. And so there's an admission and a confession aspect. There's also understanding triggers. There's relating with God and engaging others. And sort of that engaging others is one we're talking about here in terms of the group and the storytelling. But some of this about the rituals is kind of that understanding triggers. You have to understand that if you've been engaged in sexually addictive behaviors for a long time, there's stuff underneath that has almost become subconscious. I mean, I've had a lot of guys tell me, hey, you know, I'm stopped looking at porn, but man, I didn't realize how much I take second looks during when I'm out and about and in a restaurant or whatever. I just can't. I didn't even recognize it before. And it's like you don't recognize some of these things until you start trying to pay attention to what you're allowing in your mind and what you're dwelling on. And so sometimes it's going to take a while for you to first of all even recognize what you've been doing in the war country, so to speak. And you know, because some of these guys, mm-hmm. I mean, soldiers will tell you that their training is meant to get them to a place where it is second nature for them to know what to do on the battlefield. Well, guess what? Our sexual addiction training has gotten us to a place where it's second nature for us to know what to do in that battlefield and what to do and really to get ourselves blown up. But so coming out of that, you've got to learn new rituals. You've got to be able to recognize those things and learn how to steer them in a new direction. And that's going to take time. It's going to take accountability. It's going to take support. Sometimes it requires some counseling because you got to go a little deeper into some of the traumas that you've experienced. But all of this, I hope you've been able to see, listener, that there are parallels between what a veteran needs to go through in terms of returning home, so to speak, into a civilian life, and what somebody who's sexually addicted needs to do in order to return home to a place of innocence and purity and faith. What else do you have, Stephen?
Their close was this: the goal is to transfer the responsibility for the war deeds that the individual did from himself to the community, and the community must carry the responsibility for sending him to war and for him doing what he did. He didn't do it on his own, and so that there's a transfer that needs to take place. And so I think the parallel to us is that we have to lay down all that we have participated in at the foot of the cross and say, I made a mess. I wish I was good. I wish I could be good. I want to be good. I'm going to try again tomorrow. I'm going to try every day to be better. But I have to transfer my deeds to you, Father.
And you know, the good news in that is that we're told that Christ bore all of our sins. So he actually took upon himself the responsibility of the penalty that we owed. I mean, think about that. All the messes we make, all of the mistakes we make, all of even the willful sinning that we do in our life, Christ said, I will step in and pay for that. And so in that sense, we have an advocate. We have one who stands on our behalf in front of God and says, that one's not guilty. That one is cleansed. That one is clean. That one is holy. That one is righteous because of my blood. So folks, that's the beauty of the recovery process. That's the beauty of getting back home, is that not only is it possible, but in Christ, he's saying you're already clean. Just get up and take another step. Get up and take another step, and get up and take another step. And so, folks, we hope this has been an encouraging broadcast for you, and we want to let you know we're here to help you along the way. We want to journey with you. And so please contact us. You can find out more about how to get plugged into a group or a counselor on our website. You can go to puresexradio.com or go to bebroken.com and find out more. But we want to hear from you. We want to know your story and know how we can come alongside you and help you. We're so glad that you've been with us, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at puresexradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.